Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Hey everyone, this is David Nagel. Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast. Today, I want to teach you, we're going to do a two-parter on this, how to create a belief to manifest whatever you desire in your life. If you go back and you study any of the great philosophers, if you study the great scriptures of the world, they all say something that is the equivalent to whatever you think about on a consistent basis, you're actually going to manifest in your life. That's what it is that you'll create. And specifically in Mark 11:24, it says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you'll receive it and it will be yours. Now, over the years, I've studied that and I've taught that to a lot of people. And the question that I get on a consistent basis is, how do I get myself to believe something that I'm not currently manifesting in my life, where I don't actually have those results, but I want to create them, I want to change my internal belief, and I want to be able to really master the ability and the power and the skill set to create whatever it is that I want in my life. So what I want you to do is I want you to think about this from the perspective of that if you learn this skill, that there is nothing that becomes unreachable to you in your life. Literally, you will be able to create whatever you want. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start to take you through basically what the problem is first. Like, what is the first problem that we're dealing with in order to get to the place where we can create whatever it is that we want? A lot of you have heard me talk about this before. This stick person was taught to me by my mentor, but it actually came from Dr. Thurman Fleet back in 1934. He was very involved in the healing arts. And he realized that generally, whenever we think something, whenever we speak something, we have a correlating concept or image in our mind of that thing. And most people think about the mind as the brain, and the mind is not the brain. The mind exists in every cell of our being. It exists everywhere in the universe. So if we understand that the mind is in constant connection with ourselves, all the knowledge that's in the universe, and whatever you believe as far as the universe or God or spirit, that all of it is actually connected, you will also start to understand, based on this lesson, why this is actually so powerful. Because it's all in what we're communicating internally and externally that allows us to create whatever it is that we want in our life. We've broken this down into three parts. We have the conscious mind, and we have the subconscious mind, and here we have the body, which is really nothing more than the physical representation of the mind. That's why whatever's going on in our mind typically is what shows up in our life. And it shows up with and through the body in the form of the actions that we take to create whatever it is that we want. Now, let's think about a couple of principles here that are true for everyone. Everybody has access to all the knowledge that ever was or ever will be. It's 100% omnipresent in all places at the same time. Everybody is dealing with the same amount of time in a day. We all have 24 hours. It's not shorter for some people and longer for the others. All the basics are there, and they're the same for every person. What's different for people is basically their genetic makeup. That is the genetics that they were passed down by mom and dad and the preceding generations from them. And then we also have the environmental conditioning that we are raised in. And that's what we're concerned with first. And the reason that we're concerned with this is that there is a basic human need when we're born, and that is security. Security is an absolute human need when we're born. And the reason for this is that the human being will die if it does not have the aid of its parents when it's born. And we rely on our parents for a longer period of time than any other life form than we're aware of. During the first 7 years that we are with our parents and that we're in that age, from basically from the moment of conception until 7 years old, our mind is in a very programmable state, meaning that everything that's going on and around us is going into our subconscious mind, and it literally becomes fixed as a program or a paradigm, which is nothing more than basically a cluster of habits based on the way you think, the way that you feel, and the emotions that you're feeling through your body. It's also whatever it is that you express with and through you, so the actions that you actually take out in the world. But what's really fascinating prior to the age of 7 is that all this information that we're taking in, number one, we don't have the ability to reject it. Now you might be thinking to yourself, well, why is that? Because the ability to reject something is actually part of our conscious mind. That is a faculty of our conscious mind. It is not a faculty of our subconscious mind. The conscious mind is not really developed until about the age of 7 years old. So we really don't have the ability to consciously reject something up until about that age in our life. And one of the things that's also very interesting about our ability to reject it is that we would have to have a reason to reject it. We would have to develop some kind of a concept where we actually make an assumption about the information that's coming in our mind, and then there's an evaluation based on that assumption, and then we can say we either want this or we don't want this. We either accept this or reject this. Prior to 7, we really don't have that knowledge. We don't have that ability. So everything that's going on and around us is going into the subconscious mind. Now, for the purpose of this teaching, we're going to call that an X-type paradigm. X, all that means is it's unknown. So when you see the X, think to yourself, it's unknown. It's unknown programming. It's unknown beliefs. It's the unknown factor that is in our subconscious mind that's causing us to think how we think. It's causing us to feel how we feel. It's causing us to assume or begin to try to understand or conceptualize what's going on around us so that we can make decisions to move through our life. That information is coming strictly from our environment, and more importantly, from our most immediate environment, which is usually our parents and our family. And then it spreads out into more of an external environment as we go through our life. That information that comes in the first 7 years gives us a foundation that basically tells us how to think. So the unknown information that's being passed down from mom and dad is the foundation of everything that we believe. That becomes the how, so that as information comes into our consciousness, so we also have 5 senses. We see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. And those senses are constantly monitoring what's going on outside of us. So we have our results in life, we have our circumstances in life, and we have our environment. Our environment is made up of 3 main components: people, places, and things. Our 5 senses are constantly monitoring this environment. So it is perceiving information. That information is then being relayed back to us through our senses and then into our conscious mind. As it goes into our conscious mind, we are experiencing what is known as the what. The what is what we're perceiving in our outside world. And as we perceive that information and it's relayed into the conscious mind, the subconscious mind tells us how to think about what we're perceiving. How to think about it. And this is where it starts to get a little wild, because the only way that we can think about what we're perceiving is based on this unknown information that's passed on from our parents. Now, you might say, well, is it important to know what this information is? Yes, for a large portion of this, it is. The reason that I call it unknown is because all of you are different. So I don't know what all of you were programmed with prior to the age of 7. You're the one that has the best idea of what that is. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, okay, well, maybe some of you don't even remember what you were going through or what life was like prior to the age of 7. Maybe some of you have a very good recollection of what was going on there. Here's the important part. If you want to know what you're programmed with, there is only one place that you actually have to look, and that is here. That is what's actually going on in your results, your circumstances, and your environment, again, which is made up of people, places, and things. Whatever it is that you manifest in that environment is a clear indication of what's going on in your subconscious mind. That'll tell you what you're programmed with. Now, you may have to do a little work to understand what is the cause that is in that programming that is actually causing me to experience or manifest this effect. And this is important. This unknown factor that tells us how we think, this is followed by the law of cause and effect. So we have ideas in our mind, beliefs in our mind, that are literally causing the manifestation of our results or circumstances and environment as an effect of this programming. The programming's the cause, the environment is the effect. Now, the question then is, what do we have to understand about this programming, and where is the causation in the programming that is actually making this an effect? The law of cause and effect is an exact law. It never wavers. Every effect that we see or experience in our life has an exact cause to it. And when we understand what that cause is, we also can begin to understand that if we want to change the effect that we're experiencing, we have to change the cause. A lot of people are raised with a programming that kind of messes this up for them, though. And that programming would be this, that everything that we're experiencing that is in truth actually an effect in our life is actually something that is a cause. Now, stay with me here for a moment. We know, based on the understanding that we're teaching right now, that the cause is here, based on whatever you believe, and the effect is here. This is how we create our own world. This is what gives us a godlike power. This is what gives us the creative ability to create the world that we live in. That is controlled by two things: our ability to choose, which is in our conscious mind. We have choice. And by a mixture of this unknown belief system. As we choose to think, as we choose to consider something, as we choose to believe something, we then take it from this non-form, which is just a conceptual idea or belief, and we begin to move it into form. But what happens if we run into this problem, where we were raised with the idea that we're not causing this to happen? We're actually the victim of what's happening. We're just the observer of what's happening. We're not actually causing it. Well, in that case, we have a big problem, because then we have a belief here that would be previously unknown that says to us, we don't have the power to change this. That this is happening to us based on some other power. And there's a lot of different powers that people have given this to in society through all of time. One would be God, one would be luck, one would be other people. The idea of bad spirits or bad energy coming to us. Whatever it is, you have to ask yourself, is it possible, especially if you've been struggling with changing this, Is it possible that you have a belief in your subconscious mind that you don't have power over your external results in your life? If you have that belief, the way that that's going to show up here in your environment is that you don't even really attempt to control these results. What you typically do is you move through life, and in some way, your attempt at dealing with this is to adapt to it. You're like, this is the way that it is. Here's these results. If I don't like them, tough. I have to live with them. I have to adapt to it. Here's this relationship. If it's bad, there's not a whole lot I can do about it because it's their fault or it's something else's fault. I just have to live with it. Money. Do you know most people, like if you think about money, think about the amount of money that you make every year or even every month. Chances are you make the amount that you make because you don't know how to change it. It's actually become a financial set point that was handed down from your parents. And that financial set point was not based on what you want, the life that you want to create for yourself. It's actually based on need. How many of you were raised with the idea that only take what you need, or you don't need that, so don't spend money on it? Don't ask for more than you need. How much do you really need? That is not a specific financial number to create anything by. It's an idea that is based on the perception of what it is that do we need to move through our life. Now, think about this. If you don't think that you can control this, then your basic need is going to be on some idea of what survival is for yourself. So you live very close to the edge. You probably are literally one or two paychecks away from being completely broke in your life. If you were to lose your job, which is in your environment, you would really be in trouble because you need someone else to give you a job so that you can actually be secure. It creates a real issue when it comes to how do we change our life, because we come from this place of all of the power is out here. And if the idea of need is very linked to the idea of survival for ourselves. Survival goes all the way back. It's both environmental and genetic. And I said that the most important thing that we need when we're born is security. So if we're raised with the idea that our security is largely based on how we adapt to this environment and that we have very little control over it, we actually raise a very insecure child. And the truth is that most adults walking on the planet today are extraordinarily insecure because they've never been taught, nor have they ever learned the amount of power that they actually have to create the environment that they're in, and that they have the ability at will to change that environment whenever they want to. If we don't know that, if we're ignorant to that idea, or at some point if we've heard it and we've rejected that idea, the only choice that we have is to live within the constraints of how this environment shows up in our life. This is called being stuck. And there's billions of people on the planet that are stuck. We're stuck in little ideas. That means based on our little life, these little ideas that we have about how do we manage our way through our life, our bills, our problems, our concerns. And we're also stuck by big ideas. That would be beliefs that are not necessarily true, that are accepted by the mass population. It becomes a mass consciousness, but not in a good way. Everybody accepts a belief based on the idea that everybody else accepts the belief, so then it must be true. Many, many beliefs are acquired and accepted and internalized based on the idea of fear. The fear that there's not enough, we're always hanging by a thread on this edge of something that can go wrong in our life. So we have to really wake up. If we're going to change this, if we're going to be able to take in the information so that we can literally change it, we can totally take a new belief, we learn how to integrate it into our subconscious mind, So that new belief then controls how we think about what it is that we're experiencing out here. So instead of seeing problems, instead of blaming, instead of being entitled, instead of being stuck, we become completely empowered in the knowledge of and the experience of we have the power, that we've always had the power. Now, where does that come from? How do we get there? Well, the idea behind it is basically awareness. If nobody ever told you that or you've never experienced it, you're not aware that that it's already in you. But of course, we go through life being aware, unaware, of a lot of things that nobody ever taught us before. And therefore, we suffer within the problems that we feel that we have no ability to actually change. And we stay stuck. And we don't live the life that we came here to live. We don't find the purpose that is uniquely ours, that it would allow us to express ourselves and help expand the world and the universe based on the creative ideas that we help other people. You know, every form of life benefits another form of life if it's in its purpose. And no form of life has the ability to choose not to be in its purpose except for human beings. Because human beings are the only form of life that we're aware of that has conscious choice. That conscious choice is our greatest power. There's a little book years ago written by J. Martin Coey called Your Greatest Power, and it's all on the power of choice, your greatest power. You should get the book and read it and study it. As we become aware of this power, we then become aware of our choice. And as we become aware of our choice, we become more aware of the power. So we're raising our awareness. There's lots of things that we have the ability to do inside of ourselves that we're not aware that we can do. And here's the other thing about it. We will never become aware of those things if we don't actually engage in the activity of those things. It's scientifically proven that parts of the brain that we have the ability to do things, that gives us the ability to do things, literally lies dormant and unrecognizable until we begin to engage in the activity. I'll give you a good for instance of this. Swimming is one. When we're born, we have the ability to swim. If a mother gives birth underwater, that baby will hold its breath until it comes to the surface, and then it will take a breath of air, and if it goes back underwater, it will hold its breath. And you take a little child, we don't really teach a little child how to swim. We help a child become aware of their ability to swim. And it's not something that we forget either. I think that's one of the things about it that's so unique. That's the difference between awareness and just pure memory. Once you become aware of something, unless you have brain damage, you won't become unaware of it. And swimming is one of those things. You become aware of how to swim as a child, and then you might be out of the water for 20 years. And you jump into a pool, and you don't think anything of it. You just swim. Riding a bike is the same way. You learn how to ride a bike as a child. You become aware of your inner balance to be able to ride a bike. And then you may not ride a bike for several years. You get on, and then you have an opportunity to get on a bike. You get on a bike and go. Try that with something like algebra. We all learn things in our childhood where we have to prove by passing a test that we know the information. But then if we don't ever use it later on in life, we completely forget it. That's memory. That's not awareness. Success is something that every person is born with the right to. We have the ability to be successful beyond our wildest dreams. But if we're not aware of it, it lies dormant inside of ourselves. Earning money is one of the easiest things to do in the world once you become aware of how to do it. People don't stay stuck at $20,000 a year because they want to be at $20,000 a year. They stay stuck at $20,000 a year because they're not aware of how to earn $100,000 a year. As we become aware, it becomes easier for us to move through life. So we want to become aware of the power, and we want to become aware of the abilities that we have to move through our life. Now, this creates another problem. The problem is that as we take new information in, which is what you're getting now, as you start to consider new information, it's coming in through your senses, into your conscious mind, And your subconscious mind is telling your conscious mind what to do with this information. So right now, some of you are experiencing doubt. Why would you experience doubt? Because the information that I'm giving you is conflicting with how you were taught about how the world works. And if it's conflicting, our subconscious mind is designed, it's literally designed to try to hold you to the patterns of how you do think that it works. So it tells your conscious mind to kick that information out. Why is that? Because the subconscious mind is very uniquely tied to the way that we survive our entire life. But it's programmed in extremes, if you will. Let me give you an idea. Everybody's pretty much familiar with, if we get in some kind of danger, our mind in the limbic brain goes into the fight or flight mode. It says, fight this, it's dangerous, or run from this, you can't fight it. So what is the whole idea? The idea is that we survive. That's the idea. Your subconscious mind is always looking for any kind of a threat that would be dangerous to your life. But what's really terrifying to the subconscious mind is the unknown. So when you get new information that literally starts to change how you think about your outside world, without having any evidence that that's actually true, we start to go into fear. And it starts to show up first as doubt. Doubt is, it's basically the opposite of knowing. It's the opposite of confidently knowing something. But it proceeds. It doesn't stay as doubt. Doubt will often turn into worry. Many people walk around their entire life worrying about the circumstances that they're experiencing outside of themselves. And the reason that they're worried about it is because doubt crept into their mind first. That's the what ifs of life. What if something happens to me? What if something goes wrong? What if I can't respond to this? What if I can't pay a bill? What if I say the wrong thing? What if people reject me? What if people laugh at me? Every time one of those thoughts goes into your mind, it creates a doubt. That doubt then turns into a worry. That is the obsession of a negative consequence. That's what worry is. It's the obsession of a negative consequence. Worry then turns into fear. And fear is something that we do not stay in very long. Most people want to avoid fear at every single cost. So if we experience fear, we immediately go to the easiest part of our thinking. The subconscious mind takes over the conscious mind. It tells it how to think about what it's experiencing that's causing the fear. And it's pre-programmed with what to do to get us out of the fear. That means move away from whatever it is that's causing the fear. And if it's new information that's causing the fear, because the new information is basically creating a doubt in our mind about how the outside world is, we don't know if we're safe or if we're secure. Now we've got a real problem on our hands. Because we also, at the same time, want to change. We want to be able to move into a way of life and move into a way of being that gives us more power, more control, more ability to create what it is that we want. And yet, we're doubting it. Part of our mind is trying to reject it at the same time. If we're not aware that that process is happening, then all of the new information that you take into your mind, you will find the perfect reason to reject it, and you will totally stay stuck right here. All right, we're going to come back on the next episode, and I'm going to show you how to change this.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.